Well, today we're going to be moving on again in Luke 8. This time the story changes slightly and takes a more dramatic tale. Well, last week in Luke we had a parable and we looked at our response and the way we listen and act on the word when we hear it. Our responsibility to the word and how we apply it to our lives. Well, this week Jesus moves from parables to power. But before we start, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now for your word to challenge and sink deep into people's hearts. Lord, I pray for your guidance as we open up this passage together. May we all be affected by your gospel today and learn more of our wonderful Saviour. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks to Tom for reading the passage to us. And it's not that long a portion of scripture, so I think we'll just read it again, just refresh our mind, shall we? Jesus calms a storm. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Well, have you ever been afraid? It may sound like a strange and bizarre thing to ask. I'll ask you again. Have you ever been afraid and then comforted and felt assured afterwards? Well, in Homegate tradition, it's time to relive part of our youths, and I'm going to cast my mind back to when I was a kid. Many years ago in school, I was in year 9, we had to do something scary when I was at Tupton. No, it wasn't sit through a lesson with Don, although it was in that year that Don did sort me. He taught me RE, and I joked, Don, it was a very nice experience, thank you for that. Now, I'm talking about the year 9 Army Adventure Day. If anyone's ever done this, you know what I'm talking about. This adventure consisted of throwing ourselves off a viaduct in Millersdale, basically. Yeah. Anyone not familiar with this? It's a rite of passage at our school. We went out to the Monsell Trail, and we were subject throughout the day to various army-type exercises, which culminated in abseiling off the viaduct, and then the river crossing on a very thin and wobbly rope. Let's see if we can put some images. There you go. So on the screen, you'll see some of the images of the area and the sort of thing that we had to do. Lots of people suddenly got a great sense of fear and trepidation as we got kitted out and prepared to step off the bridge. For anyone who's done it, you'll know well what lies ahead. You climb over the rail, having been secured to ropes, check about 5,000 times that the rope's actually secured to you, and then you lean out backwards, which goes against everything you think is safe, and start to walk back down the wall to the edge of the arch there. The next stage is then to lean backwards so you're almost upside down and let go with your feet and swing. Yeah, as you might imagine, it's not exactly something that most of us do each day. And lots of fear gripped several people there that day. I remember it well. The secret of it all, though, is to relax. And as the instructors told us, rely on your support completely. Rely on the ropes holding you and focus on those and nothing else. Trust that they'll keep you safe. And you know what? It's completely true. As soon as you focus on the safety gear, got your mind looking at those ropes and the support you had in place, you suddenly realise that even in the midst of what was scary, you were actually totally safe and you were being looked after. Well, the day went well. I completed the challenge. In fact, it was so much fun, I did it 3 more times. It was great. So, well, today we're going to look at a story of how we need to trust in our one true safety net in times of trouble, our Lord and Saviour. This story is not just told in Luke 8, though. It's also recounted to us in Matthew 8 and Mark 4, if you ever fancy reading through those as well. All three of the synoptic gospels tell the same account. We are, for obvious reasons, looking at Dr. Luke's account this morning. Well, let's look at the first part of our passage today and see what's been told here. So turn with me to verse 22. Verse 22 says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. So straight away in the first verse, we see the Lord sets out with his disciples on a journey. He's taking them across the Sea of Galilee and heading to the other side of the lake. Note that there is an end sight to this journey. The Lord doesn't just ask the men to get into the boat and head out into the water to see what happens or just enjoy a random journey. There is a purpose and a goal in mind here. The Lord has a plan and he's carrying it out. In fact, he's crossing over to the far shore, and next week we'll hear about how the Lord encounters a demon-possessed man. Sorry for the spoiler alert there. Also, though, this journey will be a test of faith, and the Lord will use it to highlight the faith of the disciples. Jesus will today show that he knows what will happen and that he's able to control what is going to happen. You know, there's always purpose with what the Lord does, and it's no different here. The disciples were commanded to set off in the boat, and they did as they were told. They didn't question the initial command, and they followed the Lord and took him across the water. Well, Jesus told them they were going to the other side of the lake, and if the Lord says something's going to happen, then it will happen exactly as he says. The disciples did not realize this, and soon we'll see their faith is tested, and they don't think they will get across that lake. So verse 23 really starts to turn things on its head. The initial cast off, it all seemed calm. They sailed across the water. We had direction and the disciples seemed to respond well to the order and they set out without issue. The sea was calm and posed no threat. And the followers of Jesus didn't worry at all. It's here that the Lord shows us the part of him that is fully man. The Lord Jesus needed to rest. He'd been busy all day preaching and teaching. And now is a chance for his physical body to recover from its exertions. People are crowded around him all day, and now it's his time to escape away. So what does the Lord do? Well, he goes to sleep in the boat. It's showing us, or possibly is it showing us, an example of the importance of rest that we all so much need after a hard day's work. The Lord needed to rest. His physical body was tired. But the Lord also feels at peace. He doesn't have any problems falling asleep. It says he went to sleep straight away. No problem falling asleep and resting. He knew what was about to come, but felt a total peace that gave his mind and his heart rest. He was totally trusting in the Father at this point. It also seems that he fell asleep really, really quickly, showing not just his tiredness, but that peace and comfort too. I wonder if he thought of the words in Psalm 89, possibly as he slept, "Oh, Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." As soon as the Lord rests, a storm comes. And a squall, I'm not sure how to pronounce that actually. Somebody correct me later on that one. Squall, I'll say today. A squall is defined as a sudden, violent, or gust of wind or localized storm. So it appeared quickly. And it must have taken the crew a little bit by surprise. There's on some commentaries suggesting that the enemy actually had a hand in this. Several commentators say that Jesus was indeed heading to an area to deal with a demon-possessed man. One commentator writes on Job 1, 12 and 19 for reference and suggests that this squall was indeed work of the enemy. I don't know, possibly. It could be, as Satan loves nothing more than to strike at a disciple of the Lord and try to turn them to fear and to forget the focus of their faith. All the more impressive then that the Lord was totally relaxed. He is also therefore showing us he doesn't fear attacks or challenges from the enemy. He is Lord and his will is going to be done. Well, the disciples were scared by the storm. It's interesting, you would have thought that it would be used to this sort of event, wouldn't you? Galilee was known for this sort of thing in the area. And they were seasoned and experienced fishermen. And they've likely experienced something similar before. But this does seem to indicate then that the storm was not like others that they previously encountered. There was something more powerful and severe about this. Their lives were being put in danger. Well, the ferocity of the storm whipped up the water so much that it began to rise up high into the boat. And as the passage says, the boat has been swamped and confirms that they were in great danger. Remember back into Jonah and the ferocity of that storm that he experienced shortly before being thrown overboard? The men there too feared for their lives due to the violence of the weather around them. They were looking down at themselves and at the boat, and they were starting to drown. Their gaze on the world was gradually pulling them in. Throughout all this storm, all this turmoil, the Lord remained asleep there in the boat, calm, unworried, confident of his position. The exact opposite of the disciples. They were worried. And now moving on to verse 24, we see what they did next. So verse 24, the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. So, verse 24 continues with the disciples in a panic. They decide that their best option is to turn to Jesus and ask for help. And, well, that's a really good start, you'd say, wouldn't you? They know they should turn to him. But the issue here is the context in which they do. They don't wake him and place their hope and faith in him. They wake him, say they're going to drown. There's panic there. They are not assured of who they have with them. They have not thought on this promise earlier that Jesus said they were going to get across the lake to the other shore. They were alarmed and frightened by the storm when the Lord was not troubled at all. They knew that he was their master, but they did not show faith in his love and protection. They assumed they would all perish. Well, Warren Wiersbe says the problem here was not the storm, but the unbelief within them. Their unbelief was more dangerous than the storm. So the calls of "Master, Master, we're going to drown" were soon put to bed. Here in verse 24, we see the Master prove that not only is he fully man, but he's fully God. He got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and it was always calm. Can you just imagine that? Wow, that's an incredible thing, isn't it? Imagine that, witnessing that miracle. Who's been in a storm? Can you imagine the power needed to do that? Can you imagine what it must have been like to go from lashing waves, wild winds, straight away to calm and still waters, almost in an instant? He stopped not only the wind, but also those crashing waves. And did a bit of an indication for you on the screen there, what it may feel like. You've got the crashing waters there on the top left and the bottom, moving out the storm, the serene calm. Huge difference in the contrast. Well, here we see the Lord show us the power he has over nature. He is the almighty creator God. And as we've read before, at the beginning of Genesis, he merely speaks and the world is created. Jesus has total power over the situation and deals with nature and creates order from the chaos. His words alone are enough to dampen the most ferocious weather. It really must have been an absolutely incredible miracle to witness here. The ferocity and the danger that the disciples are exposed to is absolutely no match whatsoever for the Lord. Jesus calms a storm and he shows us his awesome nature. And we use that word awesome a lot, don't we? But in this sense, it really is awesome. He is fully man and fully God. Well, the way in which Jesus confronted the storm is also interesting. He didn't just say, "Be still," and wave his arms. The passage says he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. Earlier in Luke, he rebuked the fever from the woman. The Lord is showing us that he has total control over the fury. Both a fever and a storm left at his insistence and his command. Jesus is saying here, "I'm in charge. I'm telling you what's going to happen. You will leave us and depart." He speaks to the storm as if it were a person. Well, where is your faith in verse 25? It then goes on to say, he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Throughout various other passages of scripture, we see a similar response when men are confronted with the awesomeness of a holy God. The disciples were suffering from a severe lack of faith. Jesus directly confronts them about this and shocks and amazes them. He doesn't even mention the storm that he's just dealt with, that's just passed. No reference whatsoever. It's been dealt with. It's put to one side. The Lord turns his attention to the disciples and the root of the problem. He has shown them that not only is he Lord by commanding the storm, but he's also their protector by delivering them from it. He shows that he loves them by protecting the disciples. It wasn't just a showing of great, awesome power. He showed his love to his followers as well at the same time. Well, the disciples' faith was tested by a storm in their lives, and they did not trust and lean on Jesus in the right way. They had known that they must approach him, but they did not do it in a totally trusting manner. They did not believe that he would carry them all safely and deliver them through the storm. They looked within and they saw fear. They did not look to the Lord and see an almighty God. This is shown, there's more evidence in the closing section of the verse where it goes to say, in fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and water and they obey him. So the seas are now totally calm. There's no wind. You would have thought that relief would have been on the faces of the disciples straight away, wouldn't you? Maybe a shout of joy, a praise if they'd been safe from the storm. No, they were still afraid and bewildered. Their amazement led them to question who was stood before them. Well, the disciples saw standing before them the Lord God, who had in a few minutes gone from showing his complete humanness and his need to rest, and then showing them the fullness of his godness. Standing before them, they would be able to see Jesus exactly for who he was, fully man and fully God. So the passage today, we've seen the disciples follow Jesus on the journey. We've seen how events shake them from their comfort and cause them to panic. We then see a crisis of faith, and the Lord opens their eyes to this and shows them who he really is. Well, how is that relevant for us here this morning at Homegate? How can we apply it to our lives? What can we learn, and how are we to live from this revelation from the Lord? Well, first of all, we need to look to who we're following. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Lord and Saviour? When the storms of life come, are you looking down into the water, the squall, into the seas and panicking? Or are you looking and are you trusting the one who calms every storm, who has conquered the biggest storm in your life, your sin? We see in the passage, the Lord set out of a plan. He took his disciples on a journey, and he's doing the same thing for all of you here, Christians. He's taking you on a journey to his land. Along the way, we are going to experience storms. Some might be small. Some may shake you and throw you around like never before. The big difference here for the Christian is that Christ is with us all the way. Just as he was in the boat alongside the disciples, Christ is with you in your storm, and he's the one to focus on. The storm cannot get the better of Christ. It cannot move him. It cannot scare him. It cannot affect him. He's seated on high, and our focus needs to be on him. When things get tough, how do we respond? Do we pray? Do we look to the Lord? Or do we dwell on the squall and let the water try and drown us? Well, we mentioned earlier briefly another passage of scripture with the tale of the storm in Jonah. And let me read to you just Jonah 1, 11 to 13. It says this, what shall we do that the sea may be calm unto us? Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it into land, but they could not. How we react to storms we face shows us where our priorities lie as a Christian. In the tale of Jonah, the people in the boat were trying to get rid of cargo, and they thought they would deal with this storm that they're in. They tried to row harder. They tried to work harder, and it failed. Many people do this and try and get rid of certain things in their lives. They stop certain immoral acts. They stop going to certain places or putting themselves in certain situations. And this is all good, but the main focus always has to be on Jesus. We can't be saved from our own storm of sin by good deeds and trying to live a more moral life. We see this all around us in the world today, don't we? in particular various religious groups that promise a return on your investment. Simply do more and you will be rewarded more. Well, it was the same in the days of Jesus, and it's the same now. The only way to be saved and to be rescued is to turn to Jesus. He is the one we must turn to when the storms come along, and they will come along. He is the one to focus on, and he is the only one who can calm the storms in our lives. The disciples initially turned to him, but it was in the wrong frame of mind. They woke him out of fear and were not trusting in him and the plan for their lives. How often are we like this? I'll put my hand up there as well. I'm terrible for it. We need to remember that before the world was created, God chose you. He put a plan in place for your lives and set your name to be written in his book of life. He saved you. We owe him everything. Friends, if you know Jesus here this morning, then you will know of the peace that comes from trusting him. You will know and have experienced his grace on your lives. If there's anyone here this morning that hasn't yet accepted Christ and can't call him Lord, then I bring you a bit of a warning. The storms of life will continue and you will not have that rock on which to focus. There is coming a day when each one of us, every single person, will have to stand before a holy God and give an account of our lives. We were all born with a terminal disease called sin, and there's only one cure for it. We've read it many times. It's such a great passage, but Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It's great. It just shows us that it's real. Sin isn't a thing to be trifled with. It's not a joke. It's a real problem that we've got to deal with. The Christian has been saved from the threat of sin, and we'll be able to face that day, stood before the Lord in total confidence, knowing what awaits. We've got a future free of these storms, free from peril and doubt, a future safety with the Lord forever and ever. Well, consider this, friends, if you've not called on the Lord yet for forgiveness. Well, there's an issue, isn't it, with control in our lives. We've got to ask, who is it that we want to be in control? Is it going to be us? As individuals who cannot help ourselves, are we still clinging on to control in our daily lives? Are we still kidding ourselves that we can really deal with the issues alone that face us? Or are we giving control over to the Master, the one who can calm the biggest storm and knows what troubles each and every one of us? Jesus suffered, remember. He knows what we go through. He walks with us and gives us the support we need. He knows us and he knows what we need. Give over control to him and know peace in the midst of your troubles that cannot be brought about by any other way than through faith and following Christ. And the Holy Spirit has been sent to live and work in our lives. God himself is residing and reigning in the heart of the believer, helping changes each day. What an incredible truth from an incredible God. Well, the earlier illustration I told you about, the abseiling off Millersdale, as you remember, it required a step of faith. It required the person to trust completely in the ropes and the focus of their safety. You had to let go of what your own eyes were focused on and look to the safety line. It was the only way. Are you letting go of issues in your life that are causing you to panic and distracting you? Are you looking to Jesus and turning these things over to him, keeping your eyes firmly fixed on him? Well, there's a saying that's been around for a while now, and many people have said it to me over the years, and I've heard people in this church mention it, and it's that, don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big God is. Don't be like the disciples in the boat who called out in panic to Jesus. Call to Jesus in faith and assurance, knowing that he is far, far, far greater than the storm. When faced with problems, turn to Jesus, no matter the size of the storm. He will be there with you. He will guide you and give you the peace of that calm sea. Jesus not only protects from the storm, but he deals with the root cause, which is the sin of humanity. Jesus dealt with sin on the cross and suffered the ultimate storm himself so that we may stand confidently, knowing that the Almighty God is looking at us and giving us ultimate eternal protection. Do this by praying to him. Do this by reading and studying his word. Through prayer and immersing ourselves in the word, we deepen our relationship with Christ. Well, I want to leave you with one final verse this morning. Isaiah 12:2. surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I pray that we all take to heart and look to the Lord this very day in every aspect of our lives. I pray that you'll seek the Lord and fall at his knees. May knowing him this day be your greatest comfort, and in doing so, bring glory and praise to our most holy God on high. Amen.